Say, finally, I'm sick of marriage. Don't say that. Just say, I'm glad we can talk about somebody else today. Somebody say that. Guess who we're going to talk about today? You. Okay, we're not going to talk about soulmates. We're going to talk about you. But once you get this figured out, guess what you'll be? A better soulmate. Amen. Get your Bibles out. Isn't God good? All the time, where my Bible at? There it is. While you're getting your Bible, I was going to tell you something. A farmer asked the vet to come and check out his favorite bull because he wasn't doing very well. So after checking the bull's vital signs, the vet reached in his black bag, pulled out a rather large pill, forced open the bull's mouth, crammed the pill down his gullet. Suddenly the bull jumped up, took off like a banshee, jumping every fence in his way. The vet exclaimed, "Why? Well, it looks like your bull is healed." The farmer replied, "Now give me one of those pills. I got to go catch him." Hebrews 11. Children's Church, Hebrews 11. This is proof that guys are so to make the coffee in the morning. Who makes the coffee? Hebrews. y'all go ahead and say corny. Hebrews. God is so good. All right, everybody stand for the reading of the word. Hebrews chapter 11. I am so excited about this little series that we're getting ready to start. And it is going to be a series. So now you can look at your wife and say, don't look at her. Just think, praise God, we're not talking about marriage. Because that makes my hands sweat. Amen. Did y'all see that? Look at that. Woo, look at that. Amen. Anybody? Look, I showed that to somebody one time. I showed it to a redneck congregation. They started getting out the hot dogs. Matter of fact, I know Moses weren't a redneck because if he'd have seen a burning bush, he would have thrown a pig on it. Okay. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. I actually had chapter 10 there. I was thinking, I must have messed up, wrote down the wrong scripture. All right. Verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Somebody say, full of potential. I look out of this congregation right now and I see so much untapped potential. Let me say that one more time. I look out in this congregation and I see so much untapped potential, meaning you're still in and it hadn't come out yet. Some of us not ready to come out because you're not mature enough, or some of you have not had enough experiences to drive out whatever that potential is within you. Sometimes our experiences drive out our potential. And sometimes the needs around us pull out our potential. So whether your potential is being pulled out or driven out is up to God. But our choice is to answer the call to God, whether it's being pulled out due to need or pushed out or driven out due to circumstances. We all have to let God use our potential. He's not going to force you. Amen. God won't force. Satan will. God won't. Okay. So he was hid 3 months because they saw he was a proper child. He had potential. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You say, well, sin is fun. If it weren't so much fun, people wouldn't be doing it so much. Well, the problem is it's a dead fun. It's a dry fun when it leaves you empty. Amen? So here we go. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than riches and than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he would be destroyed, or at least that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as dry land. When the Egyptians essayed to do so, were drowned. Amen. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, there is no other God like you. I know, God, there's nobody that can touch us like you can. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us understand that we have unlimited and many times untapped potential within us. Help us, God, to understand this, and help us, God, to get ready for a tremendous move of your Spirit. Lord, this is not going to be, Lord, help us, Lord. Lord, help me not just to preach a feel-good sermon, Lord, because all a feel-good sermon does is make you feel good and you still go out and mess up. Help me, God, preach a live-good sermon. Lord, one that will cause us to live good. Lord, I don't want to feel good. I want to live good. Lord, in the name of Jesus, touch us, anoint us, use us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, look at somebody and tell somebody, I don't want just to feel good. I want to live good. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So I heard somebody say, I don't want to just feel good. I want to look good. Okay, you're looking good too. All right. Now, today we're going to talk for just a few minutes on, because I'm not even going to do but just two parts. I mean, one part of the first part. One part of two parts. Praise God. I'll get it out of my mouth in a minute. Amen. I got my teeth are over my eye. My tongue's crossing my eye teeth, and I can't see what I'm trying to read here. Ready? Going from existing to effective. Going from existing to effective. I dare to say that there's people within the sound of my voice, not only here, but if they could be outside in here, there's people within miles of here. Matter of fact, you can go as far as you want. And there are so many people that are existing. They're doing stuff. They're getting stuff done. But they're doing it in their own strength. They're doing it under their own power. They're doing it under their own anointing. And so they're existing, but they are not effective, or as effective as they can be. You know, yesterday was a very powerful thing. An illustration that power washing the sidewalks. Y'all look out the sidewalk, see how pretty they look in the front of the church. Also, but we were power washing. We had an electric power washer, and I was watching, and it was taking forever to power wash that thing. And so we called for it. Again, I'm trying not to mention names, because I was asked not to mention names, and some of them just mentioned material. And so while we're going along, get a call for a bigger one. And so all of a sudden, went from an electric one to a gas one. And now instead of going, it was like, okay, the difference is one had some power, a little bit. One had existence, but the other one was effective because it had the juice. You know what? I want to have the juice in my life. How about you? I don't want just to exist. When I stand before God, when you stand before God, you know what he's going to show you? He's not only going to show you what you did wrong, he's going to show you what you did right, because he's going to reward you for it. But he's also going to show you what you could have done. Whew. Wow. 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 Here's Moses. Moses has a very colorful life. And Moses has a lot of things before him. Moses has so much laid at his feet, so many things that he can do, so many possibilities. He's got the education of the Egyptians, which is science and math. He's got the leadership training. He comes in from a very bad set of circumstances. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But all this stuff, and we see that Moses has some choices to make in all this, because let me ask you a question. When the time was right, remember, your potential will either be drawn out by need or pushed out by circumstance. I can't say that enough. Your potential, your effectiveness will either be drawn out by need or pushed out by circumstance. Now, God knew that Moses had a hard head. God knew that Moses had been trained in all these things, and Moses needed to learn some more stuff. So instead of just having a king's heart, he needed a shepherd's heart. So God allowed all the circumstances, watch this, to push out his potential. He saw the need, it drew it out, but God saw it and pushed it out, and he wound up in the desert, and he wound up as a shepherd for 40 years. And when God said, okay, now you're getting it, he sees the burning bush. Now, let me tell you something. Every day to your life, God shows you a burning bush. Every day. It's not necessarily the same one every day. It could be, it's like the manna from heaven. You gathered a pot in the morning, you didn't gather one for the next day because it would rot. And his mercies are new and fresh every day. And so there's many times there is those burning bush experiences that'll last for a lifetime, but every day God shows us a burning bush. You know, I was thinking about yesterday. I kept running into people. And I was trying not to run into anybody. I was trying just to mind my own business and go do what I had to do and get back and get ready for today. And every time I turn around, somebody would run up on me and we'd get talking and they would start telling me things. And then the Holy Spirit would start telling me things. And I'd say, okay, God, this is why I'm here. Because when I first saw them, I'm thinking, God, I really need to get home. And then this would happen. And then I'd see this person. And when I see this person, all of a sudden God would start speaking to me. And next thing I know, I was ministering to this person any kind of way, many different kind of ways, but I was ministering to these people, not realizing I was looking at, all day yesterday, I bet I saw 10 burning bushes. If the truth be known, everybody in here yesterday saw at least one burning bush, if not more. The burning bush is something special because the burning bush, it was burning, but it was not consumed. And I'll talk about the burning bush later, but the burning bush was there to get Moses' attention so Moses could talk to God and hear what God had to say. God had a need for him to feel, and so he had this burning bush. But you know, my question is, do you want to stand before burning bushes or dried roots? You say, I know a lot of people, they would rather see the root. You know why they'd rather see the root? Because if I see the root, then I've got nothing I have to do. If I see the root, I don't have to get involved. If I see that old dried up root, I can complain. If I see that old dried up root, I can just go about my business and just mind my own business. But God called not one person in here to mind your own business. That's not a free one for you to find, to read the other person's cell phone while they're looking on it. That's not what I'm talking about. God's called all of us to make a difference in people's lives. God's called us all to be champions for people that cannot take care of themselves. God has called us all to make a difference in somebody's life. So again, are you going to look for a burning bush? Or are you going to look for dried roots? If you look for a burning bush, your life will be exciting. Yes, it'll be challenging, and yes, you'll be tired, and yes, there'll be times you just want to run away and pull all your hair out. But if you're in front of dried roots, you're going to be bored, slammed to death, and Satan loves for a Christian to be bored. Because if we're bored, then he gets us into the argumentative stage, he gets into the complaining stage, he gets us where nobody's doing it right, everybody's doing it wrong, blah, 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 blah. God wants us to look for the burning bushes every day. So now let's look over here. We're talking about Hebrews chapter 11. So as we're looking at Hebrews chapter 11, there's Moses standing out there in front of Egypt. If we look at Hebrews chapter 11, it's called God's Hall of Fame of Faith. And there's a reason why. You know, I used to look at the Hall of Fame of Faith and think, man, I wish I could live like that. I wish I had that kind of power. And then as I started reading about the people in their lives versus one little short verse about them, I realized they weren't supermen. They weren't superwomen. Abraham lied. Abraham talked about, said Sarah was his sister. Abraham tried to do it on his own. He wound up getting an Ishmael when he should have had an Isaac because he let his wife talk him in to a different way to bring God's promise forth, go through the flesh versus going through the spirit. There's all kinds of stuff in the Bible, but if you look in there, we will forget just by these little verses that these people were ordinary people. They were the Joneses. They were the Smiths. They were simple. Yes, God called them. But listen, God didn't call supermen to do super work. Oh, I'd love to be able to pull back and show my big old S on my chest. But I don't have one. I'd love to put on my hat and be like Iron Man and run all through here, but I don't have one. We all love superheroes. But you know what? God's called every one of us to be a superhero for somebody else. Remember, if you look at the heroes of faith, if you read just those little bitty excerpts about these people, you think there's no way I can live that way. But if you look at their lives, you'll see God took their junk and made something special out of it. God took their mess and made a message. That's a cliche, but He took their mess and made a message. He took their test and made them testimonies. So remember, we often forget these are ordinary people who accomplished extraordinary achievements. God had something very special in order to use these people. He had to let them hold on and get out of the way at the same time. Oh, there's a good one. Hold on and get out of the way. Y'all watch the Three Stooges every now and then? They all sleeping on the bed in the train and Moses, I mean not Moses, Mo, which I think is short for Moses. Mo slapped them and said, y'all wake up and go to sleep. Or remind me to kill you later. Doesn't make sense. What I'm saying right now doesn't make sense. You have to learn to hold on and get out of the way at the same time. If you want to let God use you in a special way. So now watch this. There's several things they had in common. And thank God for it! They weren't perfect. They often failed, but they all reached their goal. How many here is perfect? Raise your hand. Do not point at somebody. How many in here often fail? Hands should go up all over the place. See, God, that's the formula God likes to use. He likes somebody that realizes they're not perfect. The day and time you think you're perfect, God will back away. You know why? Because when you think you're perfect, pride cometh before the fall. It's when I realize I'm imperfect, that I'm a clay vessel that God chooses to put His power in, wow, something good can happen. None of that, when somebody who knows me sees God use me, knowing, you got to be kidding, David Linton? God's using David? Well, I went to school with him. Or I used to hang with him. Or I saw him the other day. I saw him the other day when he got upset in the checkout line. I know none of y'all do that. But they all reached their goal. Why? Here's why. Because they came to a pivotal point in their life. Although it does not say the rest of them have a burning bush experience, it is a burning bush experience. Although it does not actually tell you every last one of these guys in the Hall of Faith had a burning bush specifically, but Moses, they all had a burning bush theoretically. And everybody in here, you have burning bushes, like I said before, every day to your life. And my question is, what are you going to do? You said, let's talk about Moses. Here's Moses. See, that when they had that decision, that point, they made the right decisions. Once they had this critical point in their life, they made the right decisions. And so when they made the right decisions, God used them. So watch this. Moses is no different because watch this. He definitely was not perfect. You think, well, you see Charlton Heston, think Charlton Heston, see him standing at the Red Sea, and think, oh, Moses was without flaw? No. Why did he not go in the Promised Land? I'll give you a little secret. Don't tell everybody. He had a temper. How many knew that? So what happened? When God told him to speak to the rock, he got mad. Hit it. Come on. That's right, he didn't obey. But he let his temper get the... And it says he's the meekest man on the earth. But he got mad! Y'all want water? I'll give you water! Here, take your water! And God says, hey, dude, you ain't going to the promised land. But I carried him through 40 years. He said, I don't care. You're not taking him in. You take your little temper self over there. I'll take care of you later. Go pick a switch, Moses. So it's this. Moses, one of the greatest leaders that ever lived, was not perfect. He experienced failure, but he reached his goal. His goal was to get the people to the promised land. That's where they were when God took him home. So see, what's this? But in order for God to use Moses and to others, he had to settle four basic life questions. And I want you right now, I want you to think about these. I'm only going to do two questions today. I want you to think about this. In order for God to use us effectively in his service. Now remember, God can use us effectively only if we answer these questions. And I want everybody today, if you're taking notes, write it down. And as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, I want you to write down what he's telling you when these questions start coming out. All right? So now here we go. Watch this now. This is awesome. I only have a couple more slides, believe it or not. Here's the questions. Who am I? What are my choices? What is really important? And what are my goals? Simple. So simple that we miss it. Hey, have you ever seen something so simple that you're looking at it and you walk away? I think about this all the time. When I lived in Merritt, North Carolina, and there was a guy who actually was a master musician. He played the violin, the cello. He played the organ. He played the guitar. He was a classical pianist, a classical guitarist. He played everything. And he come here, and he went to work on the docks in Oriental. My daddy worked with him, and he looked like a hobo. And he told Daddy he was tired of the rat race. He played in the Philharmonic Orchestra. And he told Daddy, Daddy said, why did you leave something like that to go to a house that only has one light bulb on a wire that runs in your kitchen and you bake your own bread and live like a hermit? He said, because I'm tired of that rat race. And I told God if he'd ever let me live to get out of it, I'd never go back to it. And so he gave cello lessons, he gave violin lessons, he had concerts over at all kinds of churches with all the kids that he was teaching. And Daddy said, well, my son's got a guitar and he's taught himself how to play. Do you think you could do something with him? He said, I think I can. And so my daddy bartered my brothers because I was working at Radio Shack, not Radio Shack, but at Lee's TV and Western Auto. And so Daddy bartered my brothers to work for him and he gave me lessons. And I remember so vividly because it came on. I mean, we started training when Roots first came out. You remember Roots when it first came out, Kuta Kinte, all that? And so he'd even come to my house sometime and watch Roots with us. And so it was the anniversary of Roots this week on television. So they just brought back those memories. That man was so amazing. It's like listening to DC and Daniel now and watching BJ and can't forget Homeboy over there, but watching all the Richards and the Lintons up here. And I told him today, I said, y'all got to remember something. Y'all are in y'all 30s. I'm 57. I mean, I might be good for a steak. You'll get it in a minute. But DC will go, look, DC will go, here it is, Dad. Watch this. Daniel says, didn't you hear him, Dad? Here it is. And what it is I'm not a slow leak, but I drip some. Yeah, when you get a little bit older, you drip more. And when I watch them, I reminded myself when I'm training people, even today when I'm trying to train people and trying to counsel with them, I'll go, don't you get this? This is just like falling off a log. And they're going, no. Well, this guy was like that. And so he taught me a lot of things that I do remember, and I taught it to my boys. You know, like how to read the neck and how to play the chords in the neck. And he taught me all kinds of things. But I was 16, 17 years old, and I said, I don't need this. I can do this on my own, really. A master musician from the Philharmonic Orchestra is coming to teach me how to play the guitar for free. My brothers are working in the ditch on Saturday, and I'm playing guitar. And I thought, I was 17. I should have answered all the world's questions when I knew it all. I said, I didn't need it. Years later in the church, I sat back and said, you know what? There it was. It was right there before me. Now the man's dead. I can't even get to him. I can't even thank him for the stuff he taught me. I mean, it's amazing the stuff he taught me. He could look at a book and just look at the shape notes, and he could play them with. He could play the song no matter what kind of song it was. Didn't matter. He could look at the music, and he could look at them, and he could take the guitar and start playing the song. He could not even have a guitar. He would just look at it and see the shape notes and start going, da, 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 da. And I'm sitting there going, he said, I can teach it to you. But you see, I was too young. There was a burning bush, and I didn't even see it. Didn't even see it. I look over the years, when there's the burning bush, I don't even see it. Because I'm too busy doing my own thing. And here's why you got to answer these four questions. When you answer these four questions, they'll let you know how to handle the burning bushes in your life. So watch this now. The very first one, now watch this now. So, before you can truly be used of God, before you can truly be all that you can be in God, you got to do this. Moses answered them right here in these few verses. There's his answer. He answered these questions. Circumstances, remember, circumstances will drive out your potential. Needs will draw them out, but circumstances will drive them out. And so the circumstances drew out the answers to these questions. Some of you in here right now, when you hear this, it's going to draw out because of need, but some of you, it's going to drive out because of situations. So here we go. Let's get ready. Answer these four questions are actually, believe it or not, they're psychological questions, but not only psychological questions, there are four basic principles to apply to your life to be effective in God's kingdom. How many want to be effective? Remember, I don't want to just exist. I want to be effective. You know, I think it's cute to walk down Walmart and see that long, I saw that long dog that time. The dog was that long. Not a real one. About that big around, and he had two little feet and a head. And I said, who in the world wants a dog like that? And Linda said, somebody's got a draft under their door. I said, oh, it's a draft dog. And so I said, oh, it's a draft dodger. Well, see, I don't want to be a draft dog. I want to be one of the lead dogs in the fight, taking care of business. Every last one of us have that opportunity. No matter how big you are, no matter how little you are, no matter how old you are, no matter how your health is, we all can still make a tremendous difference. So now, watch this now. I love this. Very first one, who am I? Now I'm going to stop here and camp for a minute. Moses, we just read about how Moses was born. First, he was born in a time of turmoil. The Egyptians had taken, Joseph came and brought his brothers and his family over to save them during the bad times that were coming over the land. And they wind up staying in Egypt, and they grew so big that they began to outnumber the Egyptians. And the Egyptians, although they were stronger, were afraid that they would be, because of their number, would be overpowered. So they decided to cut back, and these are now free slave labor. Free slave labor. They're building the pyramids. They're building all these monuments. And so they decide they're going to kill all the boys that are born. So it's a time of turmoil, but it's a time of tragedy because there's a turmoil. They don't want to be overdone by the Israelites. So the turmoil or the tragedy is they're killing all the little boys that are born. And so as they're killing all the little boys that are born, God is about to do a turnaround. You see, some of y'all right now, watch this now. You might wonder what's going on in your life because you see turmoil and you see tragedy. How many here see turmoil in your life? in certain situations? How many see tragedy in your life? There's a third word I want you to think about. It's turn around. God's fixing to turn it around. And he may be getting ready to use you to turn it around. Here's why. Moses is born and God puts it in their mom and daddy's heart. This boy here's got potential. We're going to have to take care of him. We're going to hide him. When they don't hide him, they can't hide him long. Then she takes him and says, God is yours. And she puts him in the Nile and she makes him a little ark and she puts him down the river and sends his sister to watch. And as the world would say, as luck would have it, I say as God planned it, because God was getting ready to turn it around. God sent Moses right to Pharaoh's daughter who was bathing in the Nile. And she takes this baby and she adopts it. Wow. Here's the problem. Who am I? That's why I'm here at Who Am I? You see, she adopts him as his son. So now, he's going to get all the training and all the training and the teaching to reign as a king. But at the same time, and remember, the Egyptians were the most complex nation at the time with all their mathematics and all their dynamics. They were awesome. They come along with their stuff, and then Pharaoh's daughter, because she couldn't nurse, she said, I've got to have somebody to nurse this baby. They did not have an A&P, a five and dime. They did not have a Walmart. When they get to Mars, they're going to find a Walmart already there. Walmarts are everywhere. They had to have a mother. And so his sister says, I know somebody. And again, as luck would have it, or as God planned it. Some of y'all in here, I wish you would quit saying as luck would have it and start saying as God had planned it. His own mother nurses him, and it's not a matter of nursing for a few months. When they nursed him and weaned him, they were 4 or 5 years old before they were weaned. So, not as luck would have it, but as God planned it, Moses, for the first 5 years of his life, remember, the Catholics say, give us a kid, give us a kid until they're five, and they'll be Catholics for the rest of their life, because we will indoctrinate them and get it in their head, and their head will be set. Okay, the same way. Moses' mother, for the first 5 years, kept telling Moses that he wasn't an Egyptian. He was of God. He was called for great things. God had something special for him. But then he would go back to his Egyptian mother. And she would say, the gods sent you to me. You're going to do great things for us. Wow. So while he's being indoctrinated in the Egyptian way, he's also being indoctrinated in God's way. And so this is turmoil going back and forth, going back and forth. Mama's saying, God's got this. God's going to do something special with you. Check it out. God did this on purpose. And then you turn around and you hear Moses' Egyptian mother saying, the gods sent you to me, and you're going to be great in Egypt. And so he's got all of this going on in his head. Some of us in here, you've heard it just this week. You've heard somebody around you. You've heard the world tell you that you were born to make a difference in this world. Or you're saying they're telling you that your education is going to get you there, or your ability is going to get you there, or they're telling you something around is going to get you because you're going to make it big. But at the same time, you're hearing God say, wait a minute, I did that, and I did it for a reason. Yes, I'm going to bless you in this world, but I'm blessing you for a purpose. So you got one saying, be blessed with the world and have everything the world's got for you. You got God saying, I'm blessing you to make a difference. I'm blessing you. So everybody in here, you're hearing it all the time, left and right, back and forth. You go to training, you go to this, you go to that. You're hearing it all the time. It's no wonder many of us are confused about who we are. And if Satan can keep you out of church, and if Satan can keep you away from other Christians, and if Satan can keep you from the Bible, he wins. So here's Moses. For the first 5 years, he heard about it. Now, for the next 35 years, what has he got going? He's got the Egyptians. They're popping it to him. And he's sitting out one day. As he's sitting out one day, he sees one of the Egyptians beating up on one of the others, one of the Hebrew. And he said, wait a minute, something's wrong. And he's beginning to feel that call that God gave him in his life. But now he's going to do it on his own strength, on his own ability. He kills one Egyptian and saves one Hebrew and winds up causing problems because he did it on his own. Watch this now. But here's what he had to answer, though. This is what he was answering when he did all that. Who am I? God wants you to be yourself. Did you know you're the best you can be? Did you know you're a better you than I can be? Did you know that I'm a better me than you can be me? Praise God. My mom always said she's glad there won't be one of me. I had twin brothers. She said if the twins had been born and they were you and they were born first, there wouldn't have been a you or your sister. I told her one day, I said, well, you had me and thought you could do better, so you had a set of twins. Be who God made you. Still listen. Look, take the education. Do the stuff you're supposed to do. Get smart. Learn the stuff in this world. Do the stuff in this world. God did not isolate us. He insulated us. We're supposed to make differences on our job. Why do you think you got the job you got? Why do you think you got the promotion? Why do you think you got moved here or there? Because somebody needed to hear what you had to say. God is using you. Don't forget, though, there's a reason. You see, this is pretty cool here, how he handled it. Because the Bible said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That word refused means to reject, to deny, to totally disown. In other words, he realized he was in the world, but he was not of the world. If you want to be, listen, make a difference for God, you got to realize that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. This world is not my home. It's an old cliche, I'm only passing through. Yeah, I'm only passing through. You know, this week, I'm going to show it on a week or two from now, on a Tuesday night. Y'all want to come and see this. It's a Christian view of outer space and a Christian view. I mean, because I am going to a Christian college. It's a Christian view from Christian PhDs. Some of these PhDs are actually pastors and they're astronomers and they're physicists. And these guys show some awesome stuff. But I was sitting there thinking and I had to write this paper and something just struck me so strongly. The professor said, when I was listening to him, he said, do you realize, number one, the universe is infinite? And he said, it's so awesome. He said, that's not to show us how little we are. It's to show us how big God is. Because he holds this infinite universe from here to here in the span of his hand. Here it is. And he said, you know what? He said, one beam of light can travel around the earth seven times in 1 second. Wow. I'm pretty fast. I can't travel around the world seven times in 1 second. Wow. He says, can you realize how powerful? Because God always said was, let there be light. And everybody said, I'd love to have been there when he said it. No, I don't think I want to be there anymore, because can you imagine? He says, let there be light. And all of a sudden the universe, and the Bible says he made the heavens and the earth, meaning the universe, he spoke it and bam! I'd be trying to hide. You know, I've heard him say, you're so old. You know, when God said, let there be light, he told you to flip the switch. You know, and, let there be light. So watch. God has a purpose for you. And Moses, it took him 40 years, but he realized he wanted to do what God made him to do. Wow. See, here's the problem, Moses. Moses was a great man, But Moses is where a lot of us are. Watch this. Oh, I love to see that. Y'all watch this. Let me read this to you. Your life has purpose. Your story is important. Your dreams count. Your voice matters. You were born to make an impact. Everybody. So, but here's this problem. Here it is. Here's this problem. He had an identity crisis. I can imagine I'd have one too. If I was hearing one woman say, you were born of God and God did this, and I hear another woman say, the gods did this, the world did this. One saying, you're supposed to make an impact for God's people, you're going to be their turnaround agent. And I'm hearing the other one say, you're going to keep driving the slaves. One saying you're going to free the slaves, one saying you're going to drive the slaves. It's back, 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 back. And he had an identity crisis. But there come a time, he was 40. Back then, that's when you were really considered a man. Mature. At 40 years old, that's when he asked this question. Who am I? Am I supposed to be driving the slaves, using them, or freeing the slaves and teaching them? Wow. You see, there was a purpose. That was the problem. He had identity crisis, but the purpose was God had made him for a purpose. He made you and me to be part of a plan. It's not by accident that I met you. It's not by accident that you met me. It's not by accident that you married who you married. I told you that last week. It's not by accident that you're serving in this church. It's not by accident that you're working where you're working. It's not by accident, whatever education you've got. Well, I worked hard for that. Yeah, you did. But don't you think God was the driving force? Nobody, listen, can be who you are but you, and you can't be who you need to be without us. Wow. That's powerful. That is so powerful. So, Moses had to come to this realization, this identity crisis. You know, look, he finally gets to the point where he realizes who he is. And when he gets to this point, now he finds inner peace. He rejected, he totally disowned the world, but he still loved the world. But he wanted to do what God had made him do. I just told you this. Get ready. I'm getting ready to close. Some of y'all saying, yeah. Number one, be yourself. I've tried being other people. It don't work. I've had people tell me, say, why can't you be more serious? I know when to be serious. Well, watch this. I've had people tell me I need to loosen up. I've had people tell me I need to tighten up. I've had people tell me, you need to be more serious. I've had people tell me, you don't need to be so serious. You need to tighten down. You know what? I got so busy trying to be what everybody wanted me to be that I lost who I was. So when you get me, you get me. Amen? And when I get you, I want to get you. Amen? That's right. Because you're the best you can be. So now, he finds this inner peace. And here we go. Now, he's being himself. But now the next question. What are my choices? I can tell you, if I'd have been in front of a literal burning bush and it's burning but not consumed, I'm not sure how I would handle it. I know we all talk, I know what I'd do. I thought about that. I rode by one day and some guys were in the road. Some teenagers were in the road and they wouldn't get out of the way. And so I slowed down and they were just trying to make a mockery of the whole thing. And they finally, you know, moved over. And I'm going by and the guy said, I heard him. He said, I wish you'd have hit me. I'll tell you what I'd do. I looked over at the boys and said, you hear that? Wish I'd have hit him. He'd tell me what I'd do. I'm going to tell you what I'd do. He'd bleed. Are you going to jump up like Superman and hit my car and knock it down and throw me over in the ditch? No, you're going to lay down and play dead. You probably won't be playing. Listen. What are my choices? Here it goes. Listen. accept responsibility for your own life. See, verse it said verse 24, we just read, when by faith when Moses was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Who am I? Secondly, 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, that's some powerful stuff. I mean, that's powerful. Accept responsibility for your own life. The word choosing means to select, to decide, to make a deliberate choice. He made that choice. He said, wait a minute. Now, I know what's going on, and I can play this little game, and at the end, I lose. Or I can man up and do what God's talking to me to do, and watch what happens. So watch. Did you know that we all have a choice? All of us. You want to really get under my skin. I hear this when I'm in counseling all the time. You want to really get under my skin? Play the Genesis chapter 3 on me. It's that woman you gave me. In other words, I had nothing to do with it, God. Here it was. The apple fell out the tree, and I picked it right up, and my mouth opened up, and I bit right into it. I had nothing to do with it. It was her. And of course, she said, it was that snake. Oh, again, the apple just fell out of the tree, or the fruit fell out of the tree, and she just happened to be there and caught it in her mouth and bit it. On the way down, her husband caught it in his mouth and bit it. Blame, 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 blame. Of course, the snake had nobody to blame. He had no leg to stand on. All right, ready? We place blame, or we can accept responsibility. I catch myself doing it. I have to stop myself and say, wait a minute. Am I blaming? How do you know? I'm going to tell you a little secret. I'm going to give you a little secret here. This is going to help you. If you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden you do something out of character, like break something, smash your hand through a door, pop somebody, break what you have in your hand, which I used to do all the time. I used to do all those when I was younger. I got scars to prove it. And I'd always say this. See what you made me do. Somebody start rolling in some toes. Could get ready. Nobody made you do that. They might have inspired you, but they didn't make you. The decision is yours. Am I going to lose my cool to the point where I want to hurt somebody? Am I going to lose my cool to where I take and do something stupid like hit a tree, which I have done? I'm going to be so mad I just sit there and think about it and get mad and hit the side of the house. I remember before I was saved, God delivered me from that. I remember before I was saved, I walked in one night, and you know how the old mobile homes used to have these little vents that always popped up like that? I come along and hit that little vent, cut my foot all to pieces, and cut the bottom of my foot. I got mad, turned around, and hit the refrigerator. So now I got blood, and I'm limping, and I'm going. That was brilliant. Nobody makes me. It's my responsibility how I react. Did you know that life is 5% what happens to you, 95% of how you respond to it? So with all of this, thinking about this, I can't blame somebody else if I am having, I'm just existing. I can't blame somebody else. Like we said last week, how would it be like to be married to me? Think that sometimes with your spouse. How would it be like to be married to me? Or how would it be like to have me as a brother? How would it be like to have me as a father? How would it be like to have me as a friend? How would it be like to have me as a church member? How would it be like to have me as a pastor? I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about you. Everybody's going, oh, if David was me. No, not me. You. Quit blaming your bad choices on everybody else. When everybody gets quiet like this, either y'all were chewing or spewing. Okay, I got one more slide. Somebody said, praise God. I know they've been kind of tough lately, but they've been good. This is good stuff. This is me. Remember, I told you, I don't want to feel good. I want to live good. I listened this morning to a bunch of feel good. Turned on the TV, and there was Mr. Feel Good. Mr. Ultra Bright Feel Good. I felt so good, and then I started thinking, wait a minute. You just said if I do this, 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 and this. And I said, what you just said weren't even biblical. You didn't even back it up with Bible. You just do this, 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 and this. And I said, I definitely feel good, but if I try it, I'm not going to live good. This is live good stuff. Get ready. One more. Be responsible. Who? Look, he's trying to figure this thing out. You see, God chose Moses as a baby. Did you know God chose y'all before you were ever born? God chose me before I was ever born. The Bible says it. He's talking to Jeremiah. He said, before you're ever out of your mama's womb, I already knew you. I already ordained you. I already decided what I wanted you to do. I already knew what I had created you to do. God already knew what you were supposed to be doing. God already knew what you were going to be. If light can travel around the world 7 times in a second, God knows what we need. God chooses us. I didn't choose him. I hear people all the time saying, I felt so much better since I found God. You didn't find God. He weren't lost. You were. So watch. Here it is. God chose Moses as a baby, but Moses grew up. God already chose you. He already knows what he wants you to do, but he's not going to make you do it. So what? He had to choose. Let me ask you today, how do you feel about this? Am I going to just blame everything on everybody else and play the blame game? And I can just sit around and I can be ineffective and I can walk around poor, pitiful me all the time and I got a reason to be poor, pitiful me because my mama didn't feed me the right formula? Because my daddy, he let me go with my diaper unchanged. He babysit me one night and I went all night long without my diaper changed. That's why I am like I am. When I went to court on Bethany's behalf, I went to court on her behalf for 3 years. Didn't even know that I was going to get her. I just went there as an unofficial guardian ad litem. I was there to help and protect and look out for her. It got to the point where they were putting me on the stand, and the lawyers were involving me in all the cases, all the different cases that we had in 3 years. But to start with, I was just there as an observer. But because I was at every case, I was at every court case but one for 3 years, and it was family court. And so I got a chance to hear this over and over and over again while the kids were the way they were. The Lord, can you see a lawyer saying, well, the reason is that she's like she is because she used cloth diapers. Her mama used cloth diapers instead of Love's. Sounds silly, don't it? I watched one young lady up on the stand, and her mama got up and said, can you please take my daughter? I'm through with her. I can't do anything with her. And the judge, if I'd have had a quarter, I'd have thrown it in, but he would get me for contempt. He said, ma'am, he said, I clearly see the problem. I've heard all the stuff. He said, the problem is, you waited till now to get control of her. He says, I'm going to tell you something. He says, if she comes back in here for anything, He said, first off, I'm not taking her. You're taking her back home. She was 15. He says, she's going back home with you. And he says, if she comes in for anything whatsoever, you're going to pull her time. I don't want to stay up and say, get some, Judge! The daughter was blaming everybody. Mama was blaming everybody. And the judge says, okay, let's just stop. Somebody's got to be responsible. And since you're the oldest, Mom, you are. Since she's underage, you're responsible. So now, again, he had to choose. Verse 25. The Bible says in verse 25, it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And when? The Bible said when he was come to years, meaning he was mature. This wasn't a fly-by-night emotional decision. There's too many people. I'm going to tell you something. If you make an emotional decision, you usually will not keep it. That's why when y'all talk about getting married, you need to wait a little while so you can get a chance to see each other other than emotions. Get a chance to see each other with problems in your life and get a chance to be together when there's some heavy-duty stuff going on and decisions to be made and work decisions and stuff. Because the dating period or the dating period is sort of like a trial run to see if I even want to keep dating them. Then when you're engaged, it's a trial period to see if I even want to be married to them for the rest of my life. There's some people, you know, that they meet today and they're married tomorrow and then wonder why they can't get along. Because they got married on an emotional decision. The same way. Moses did not make an emotional decision. He was 40 years old. And it seemed like by the things that happened, it was a bad decision. But it wasn't. Guys, y'all come on up here. It seems like it was a bad decision. It weren't. 40 years in the wilderness. But he didn't realize that once he told God, yes, I'll do this, that God said, okay, let's step up our training. We're going to a different realm of training. We're going into a realm of training now that you have no idea the power that's going to be here. Some awesome stuff. Now, coming up, we're going to talk about the other two questions. But these two questions right here, I thought we needed to stop right here. Who am I? I'm being bombarded every day by the television who I am. Real men do such and such. Real women buy this. If you want to be happy, then buy this product. Not true. You see, mature people take responsibility for their own actions. Nobody's making me. I decide. Sometimes the pressure will be great. Why are you allowing this to happen? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Mature people don't make emotional decisions. They weigh it out, like Moses did, weigh it out, and make the best decision that they can make with the information they've got at the time. There's people in here right now. Matter of fact, y'all stand up, close your eyes, and bow your head. Don't look around. There's people in here right now that you actually, if I ask you who were you, you wouldn't know. You've been poured into the mold of the world. You've let the world take you and shape you. You come in here on Sunday, and God tries to pull you out of the mold. You go back to work on Monday, and they're put back in that mold. You got to realize you can't fit. All the week into Sunday You've got to let Sunday fit in all of the week. God has more for you to do than you ever could imagine. But you got to figure out who you are. Am I a Christian? Am I His child? Did He call me to make a difference? I'm not talking about a pulpit ministry. I'm talking about in Walmart. Can I talk to somebody? Can I help somebody? Can I? Nothing else. Sometimes just reaching up and grabbing something for somebody can make that. You don't understand. They may have been thinking nobody wants to help. I saw a lady the other day that had been fighting cancer. And it's like she's like on her sixth or seventh round of cancer treatments and six and seven rounds of different cancer. And honestly, you could look at her and tell, I could feel it. Was she dressed to go on a date? Nope. Was she even dressed to go to Walmart? Nope. She like she was dressed just to say, you know what? I put something on and I'm out here. I need to get this mess and get on back home. And when she walked past me, me knowing what she's been through, and seeing her and remembering her back in the day when she would have everything perfect before she went out. And I've seen her now with her body mangled from cancer, and she walks by me. I could have said, you know, cool, all right. I looked at her and looked her right in the eye. And I said, you know what? You really are looking great today. And I saw that frown light up. Her walk sped up. And she turned around and said, God bless you. You let God bless you this day. And she walks off. Now, that was a burning bush. That was a burning bush. I could have ignored it. Well, God, I'm too busy. God, you know how it is. Well, God, I really don't want to say that. I mean, it is a woman. No. She heard what she needed to hear at that moment, and I saw her countenance change. Who am I? And do I take responsibility? Just those two right there will get you rocking. It'll get you moving forward. The next two are going to really expound and really push you forward and explode you. I want you this week to think about it. Who am I? Have I let the world tell me something? Have I let the world take away my identity? And do I blame everybody else for everything going on? Or do I take some responsibility for something? And the part I take responsibility for, I can fix. But if I take no responsibility, I can't fix a thing. Right now, I invite y'all to come up here. A general altar call. If you have that question in your mind today, who am I? Come on up here. If you've been trying to fight this responsibility thing, come on up here. If you need God to do something in your life, come on up here. You want God to use you, come on up here. I know it's close to 12 o'clock, but that's okay. God's time is a whole lot different than ours. You need God to touch you. You need God to help you. You need God to help you understand what's going on. All that will, come on up here and pray. All that will, come here and pray. A mark of maturity is I take responsibility for what I can take responsibility for. I take responsibility. I don't blame somebody else. I take the responsibility. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, glory. How great. Y'all sing that. How great is our God. How great is our God.